The Good News Hour greets you once again, and your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and we are indeed thankful to our God to be able to turn with you to the Holy Scriptures and therein consider what God, our God, has to say to us. Now, in our last broadcast, we pointed out the difference between in many respects, the difference or contrast between Solomon and our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we called attention to begin with at the Gospel by St. Matthew and verse 42, which says, "The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she was not disappointed. But," says he, "a greater than Solomon is here." And it must have grieved the heart of our blessed Savior, for there really was not the disposition on their part, the desire to hear from him the wisdom of God displayed in that blessed one. Now, we did point out that Solomon was great in origin, great in dignity, great in love, great in power, great in wisdom, great in riches, and great in his reign. We, however, put alongside of that the greater, the one who was greater in his origin, greater in dignity, greater in love, greater in power, greater in wisdom, greater in riches, and also in his reign. Now, I'm going to just take the time for a moment to go back to the book of 1 Kings, and we see just a little bit about Solomon and wherein lay the secret of his greatness. If you were to turn to chapter 4, 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29, you would read, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand that is on the seashore, and Solomon's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men." And then in the 32nd verse it says, "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And I should just like to, for a moment, pause momentarily to tell you that while Dr. Solomon wrote 1,005 songs, the 1,004 of them were discarded and only one preserved. That, of course, the song of Solomon's, and it really was redemption's song. And then further it says, "He spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowls and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." And of course, we pointed out to you, as the scripture says, it was a God-given wisdom. And you can quite understand, too, when you read the story of the Queen of the South who came from a far country, it says, from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And her testimonial was, she said, after she had seen the display of his power in various ways, and of course of his riches too, she said, "The half was never told." And we're able to tell all who are listening in today, if you would just turn aside from those things that are making demands upon you in this busy workaday world of ours, and perhaps spending your time for what the Word of God speaks of that which does not satisfy. In fact, nothing can satisfy in this world. Now, if you'd stop just a little and turn to the Word of God, and if there was a desire on your part to hear the wisdom of the one who is greater than Solomon, all wisdom resident in him as well as all power. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to me, please, if you will, to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Now, I think we did point out, and we have just heard gone over some of the thoughts that we have been stressing as regards our Lord Jesus Christ, that He was God's eternal Son and took upon Himself human flesh. He was born of the Virgin and born into this world. In order He became our kinsman, that He might become our Redeemer. And so if you want to trace the footsteps of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ as He's brought before us as the one born of the Virgin, let me stress it, who was very God and at the same time became very man, He was not a product of this earth. And of course in this respect He was unlike Solomon. Solomon's origin, you know. Solomon was born of a wonderful father, a father who had a link with God, perhaps second to none in the Old Testament. Still, Solomon was a sinner with a sinful nature and had to have God revealed to him too. And so it is true of all. However, in contrast to this, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was not a product of this earth, knew no sin, He did no sin, and in Him was no sin, and yet He became the sin-bearer. He took upon Himself that which was ours, our guilt and our sin and our judgment, in order that we might be saved from wrath and from judgment through Him. And then we did say a little in our last broadcast to you too about the wisdom and the power of God to combine. Now I should like to stress that and pursue it just a little bit further. And if you will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18 you would read, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Ah, yes, the speaker can say, he can look back to that memorable time in his life, a red letter day, as it were, when I ventured simple trust, simple faith in the work, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a power was exhibited, a power was exercised that night in my behalf, a power compared with no other power upon the face of the earth. In other words, the power of God. And I could say, yes, thank God I had heard about Him. I had heard others tell about being delivered from the burden of guilt and of sin, and of having a new beginning and of a new life. And I wondered how it could all come about. But that night when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I received Him as the one who died in my place, died for my guilt and my sin. The power of God was exercised, you see it says, "But unto us which are saved," that night God saved my soul. And I was then translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, and put amongst the company of those who can say, "We are now saved." And I can say, thank God I am now saved, and it is the power of God. And so if I were called upon to give my personal testimony, I could not boast of what I had done. I could not boast of any effort on my part. I could tell you that a work of God, the power of God, was exercised in my behalf that night, and brought me out of darkness into light from the power of sin and Satan into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And but then a little bit further, I would like to have you notice something in this wonderful chapter. We have not only the power of God, we have the wisdom of God. And if you were to turn to verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." And you know, men and women never get saved until they come to the end of their own resources. You cannot reason it out by human wisdom. No, you have to turn to the one who is God's wisdom, and He becomes to you the wisdom of God. And you'd be able to say, as we have it in this very chapter, "Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." But now let's look at something a little further. "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And you know, the record still stands. It pleases God to save them that believe. However, this is the verse now that I've had on my heart and I've been wanting to get at. It's found in verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Gentiles, you see, the testimony is in no sense conflicting. Doesn't make any difference whether the man is a Jew or whether the man is a Gentile. It says, but unto them which are called, and you know everybody that's saved is called by God, he or she has a divine call. And this is what he has to say. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And so the speaker can boast today of the power of God and of the wisdom of God, the power of God and the wisdom of God displayed at the cross of Calvary, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he became the supreme sacrifice for guilt and for sin. Look at Calvary, and you will see there wisdom, and you will see power. Ah, yes, I repeat, the power of God. And the power of God displayed in raising him from the dead. And the benefits, all the wisdom and all the power of God will be exercised in your behalf today if you take your place before God as a sinner, helpless, hopeless, lost, and you just tell him, well, Lord, I do not understand, and I seem to be in the dark. However, I am unreservedly casting myself upon you. I believe you died for sinners. I believe you died for me. And you have promised that in the gospel and in the work of the cross, the power of God is resident, and it will be exercised and unleashed in my behalf if I trust him. Listen to this, if you will. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Receive him today, and salvation is yours. Now, we'd like to get a line from you. Good News Hour, care of the station to which you're listening, or Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.